For your digital download pleasure, it's Tim and Davo in podcast form.
My son Jack's about to turn 3. He's been going to daycare for, I don't know, like 2 and a bit years.
Mm-hmm. He's so cute. We love little Jack.
We do love Jack. And he's growing up to this little boy and he's the best. And I do daycare drop-offs because obviously in the afternoon I'm here at the radio station. So my wife, she'll do the pickups. And I'll tell you what, I've done a few pickups. Pickups are way better than drop-offs.
Yeah, because of course they're excited to see you after a big day. When you're dropping them off, you are abandoning them, essentially.
Short straw for me, but I still just love, you know, being involved with everything that he's doing. So I'm like, yep, do drop-offs. Most mornings are pretty good. Other mornings are pretty hard. I'm sure if you're listening and if you've had young ones or you've got young ones that are in this situation or nieces and nephews, you know, it's just like every day is different. And the last few months, if my son's been a little bit upset and he goes, he'll say, I miss you all day, Dad. And I miss you and I love you. And I'm like, mate, I love you too. We have all the photos and we have so much fun here with all your friends and the incredible educators. Mm-hmm. So what we'll do sometimes is on his hand in like a little texter, I'll draw a love heart on his hand and my hand. And I'll say, hey, mate, we both got the love hearts now. And if you are looking at your love heart, that means I'll be looking at mine wherever I am. When we're not together, it's like our little connection point. So, like, I've got one on my hand right now.
Yeah, it's very, very sweet. It's very nice. Isn't that very cute?
Well, yeah, just like, and then he'll get upset sometimes. He'll be like, oh, I washed it off, but I still thought of you today, Dad. And I was like, I know, because I looked at my heart. That's what it is. And I genuinely believe that that's the case. So, like, I'm looking at it now. I imagine on his hand, he's looking at it now and we're thinking of each other.
Yeah,
right?
He's thinking, I love Dad, he's great.
And I love Jack, you know, I love my beautiful son. This morning was trying to convince, he was a little bit upset. We've had a big weekend, we've been moving house. And I was like, hey, look, on my hand, I got a little texture and I was like, I've drawn a little love heart. So do you want to do the love hearts? He's like, I don't want to do the love hearts. I don't want to do the love hearts.
Tough.
I was like, come on, mate. And then,
you know, this makes you feel better, mate. Let's do this.
Yeah, and one of the educators who's great, who's known him since he was like 9 months old, was like, oh, Jack, look, I'll draw a love heart on my hand too. And then the three of us can have one.
Oh, that's so nice.
And I'm like, that's nice. She's trying to help. Like, drop-offs are really tricky sometimes and she's trying to help. She's like, look, now I've got one and do you want one? He's going, no, no, no. So eventually he calms down and I'm like, remember, this is what it means. Like, if I'm looking at it, it means I'm thinking of you and I'm caring for you and you'll be doing the same. That means we're looking at it at the same time. Like the moon. I'm like, if no matter where we are, we both look at the moon, that's us connecting, right? In the end, so he has decided he has not wanted a love heart on his hand.
No.
But me and one of his educators have been connected all day.
It's really nice. Yeah. So when you're obviously looking at the heart on your hand, are you thinking of the beautiful educator?
Yeah, Kate. It has, and even as I was leaving, I was like, oh, well, you've, and she went, yeah, oh, no.
Say me and Dad, have a nice day.
So first thing I did was I called my wife.
Yeah, just to let her know.
I was like, hey, I've got a love heart on my hand today, like normal, except Jack doesn't, just one of the educators at the daycare center. That's not our son.
If this is open to anyone on a Friday when we leave here, Tim, what will you draw on my hand?
I'll draw a C on Monday on yours.
Tim and Davo.
Look, Saturday was a rough match, wasn't it? I mean, they had an incredible 39-point lead for a while there.
20 minutes gone in the third quarter, up by 39 points. I was listening to K-Rock footy on the radio and I was moving house. I said to Dad, I was like, oh, we'll turn it off because the Cats have got it in the bag. And then later on that night, he's like, mate, you know the Cats lost. Like, are you kidding me? So that sucks. And a couple of players hurt out of it. One of them, Jezza bloody Cameron.
I know. He's already hurt one of his arms at the end of last year at the grand final. Now his other arm has been injured, which is not looking good for Jez.
Yeah, broken collarbone on his left side. Did you see it?
No, I didn't. Dude. Bad. I don't want to look at it, to be honest.
It's real bad.
I did see him on the green whistle, though, going nuts.
He would have been rapt about it. He was asked, I think, the morning after as he was heading to the airport by a Channel 9 reporter how he was feeling. The interaction is very Jezza. Mm-hmm. Let's have a listen.
I think obviously the night after, how are you feeling?
Oh, awesome, mate. Plenty of sleep last night, which was good. But it's just unfortunate, I guess. What do you do?
Yeah. Any results back yet? Are you sort of in doubt the rest of the year, hey?
Yeah, probably tough to get up for a, 5 or 6 day break with two cooked arms. But we'll see how we go. I haven't ruled anything out yet. But, yeah, I'm in good spirits, so what do you do, mate?
I'm in good spirits, so yeah. What do you do, mate? I love him.
There was a perfect amount of sarcasm in there because I don't think he had a great night's sleep the night before. I think he might have been joking around because, yeah, collarbone, obviously very uncomfortable. His other arm, like you said, his right arm that got a fracture or broke in the grand final last year. It's painful.
Yeah.
And, look, I know it's not exactly this, but there is a world where Jeremy Cameron is in two casts right now with both of his arms.
Well, metaphorically, he kind of is, isn't he? Because he can't play.
Metaphorically, yeah.
He can't play. Yep. Both of his arms are injured.
Yes.
He's basically broken both his arms.
What I thought we could do, and we might not get a call.
Yeah, okay. It's always risky.
But on 52232955, have you ever broken both your arms at the same time?
Nightmare fuel.
Both arms. There was a kid in my high school that did.
Oh.
Ryan Green.
Ryan Green.
I think about Ryan Green all the time. Mm. And he came to school double casts. And he would tell me, he's like, you can't wipe. You can't shower by yourself. You can't do anything by yourself. And as a teenager, that's the worst thing ever.
Yeah, it's devastating. I mean, that's not great for a teenager. It's not great for anyone.
I still think if Jezza had two casts and was out there, I still reckon he'd kick a couple of snags.
Oh,
he's got that dog in him.
He certainly does. But also, I've got no doubt, even with his two injuries, he's out on the farm. He's doing what he needs to do.
He's doing his best. 52232955. Have you broken both of your arms at the same time? Or know somebody, again, really unlikely. But if we get that person, what a story. Carla in Point Lonsdale, it wasn't you, it was your mum.
Yes, it was my mum.
Oh no, what happened?
She was trying to paint a windowsill, so she put some newspaper on a bench and then climbed on the bench and fell off the bench.
Slipped. And so she's tried to double brace herself and the arms have both just gone?
Yes, that's right. Yeah, broke one arm and dislocated and broke the other one.
Oh, that's not a good afternoon and not even doing something fun.
No, not at all.
And, like, that's really dangerous as well. Like, was she at home by herself or, like, how was she able to get in touch with someone to be like, hey, I think I've broken both my arms?
No, she was with my dad. So... Dad freaked out and just called an ambulance and she got the green whistle as well. So
I think we're going to get a lot of that at the end of the stories. But I don't think he freaked out by calling the ambulance. I reckon he's done the right thing there, Carla, okay?
Oh, no, he left her on the floor, though.
Okay, all right. Well, Carla, we appreciate your call. Sorry about your mum. Mark's in Geelong has given us a call. Mark, it wasn't you, it was your younger brother.
Yeah, my younger brother was on some play equipment in primary school and he was only about a foot off the ground and he fell forward and put his hands out to stop himself from falling. But when they took him in, they only did his left arm. So his left arm's in cast and about he kept complaining that his right arm was hurting. About 2 or 3 weeks later, they sent him back in for x-rays. He's like, you've broken your right arm as well, mate.
I mean, why didn't they check? That's crazy, isn't it? What do you think?
Who knows at the time? This was going back late 80s.
Wow.
They're just thinking, well, they couldn't have possibly done both.
No.
So he was in plaster for an extended period of time, so he had fun eating and doing all the other stuff that you need 2 arms for.
Yeah, so like he couldn't have showered by himself, surely. Eating, that's a no. Toilet, did you ever get called into toilet. Big Brother duty, Mark?
No, definitely not. There was a big line in the sand there.
Yeah, that's fair. I thought you were saying line up.
Family's like... there for you, but unfortunately in this instance, no. And I imagine you thought that was just probably the funniest thing ever, Mark, for that entire time.
Well, we sort of had a bit of a history. I think it was a couple of years later, I jumped off some play equipment and I broke both bones in my left leg and dislocated my ankle as well. So it was a really good primary school.
Jeez, your parents have been through the ringer.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
So I've been a bit of a Pink Panther lately on a bit of research mission to find out about the Paddle Pop Lion Liquor Prize promotion.
Yes. Last week you introduced it to us and for younger people they might not have known.
Mm-hmm.
But this was common. They had like you would eat the ice cream and on the stick you would get like a code or like 1/5 of a something, and you needed to get all five in the right order to be eligible for that prize. Some of them were simple. It was like you get two, you get a free ice cream, right?
Yeah. But some of them were huge. You could get a prize to go to the US. I mean, here's an advert from 1997.
Win your very own time zone driving simulator in Speedstix, the coolest paddlepop promotion in Australia and New Zealand ever. Just match three symbols on your street's paddlepop stick to win instantly. See? There's heaps of other cool prizes too, like Philips home theatres, Nintendo 64s, Ocean and Earth bodyboards, bed basketball sets, and 600,000 paddlepops. Streets, paddlepop, Speedstix. Lick it.
Yeah. I mean, this was huge. Those prizes were through the roof.
I mean, if I won a Nintendo 64 in 1997, I would have lost my mind. That's literally living the dream. But like you said that last week, there was like people would win holidays to like Hawaii and stuff like that.
Yeah, they were massive prizes. But I haven't been able to find proof online that any of the Xboxes or holidays or anything were actually given away. I've seen a few comments on online where they're saying, oh, you know, I knew someone that won a trip to Movie World or whatever, blah, blah, blah. But no actual proof.
My first-hand account, okay.
So last week, I sent an email off to Streets and I said, excuse me, guys.
Strong stuff.
Excuse me, can I please speak to the Paddle Pop Lion? Because I've got some things I need to sort out with him. But I was just kind of saying, you know, can we get some, like, did you actually give them away? Were they won or were they sort of just left? So I've got a response.
Stunning.
Now, it says, we can confirm a range of prizes from free Paddle Pops, sporting equipment and holidays were distributed to winners in line with the terms and conditions.
Of course. They have to say that.
And that's it.
That's all they said.
Sus as.
That is unfortunately sus as. Like, you can give a bit of colour to that. You'd be like, hey, like, so great to hear from you. Not many people are hitting up this email anymore. It's great to get the Paddle Pop Lion back out there. Yeah, like, of course, with our T's and C's that would happen. And there's multiple examples around the country of this happening. And, like, we gave away this, we gave away that. But that seems very copy and pasted from the HR team there.
Yeah, there's no real proof. This was a worldwide promo. It wasn't just here in Australia. They did it in the US. They did it over wherever else you can get streets. But it was a worldwide promo. So you'd think surely there would be more people coming out of the woodwork saying, you know, they won this or that. It has been going on since the 1980s.
Well, surely we'd have like a stack load of winners. Well, I don't understand that.
This is right. So look, I have been looking online.
Okay.
Now, I'm not really sure where to go next, but I found a bloke online who's also trying to figure this out.
Kindred spirits.
It's called the National Account. He's investigating. So I'm actually going to reach out to him next.
Can we get him on the show potentially?
Yeah, that's what I'm hoping.
Let's see, because he's obviously done a little bit more digging than you. And then you can always say, now it's a joint investigation, really tack on to the work he's already done, and you can bring your, well, I've sent an email, so you have contributed to the search. This is better than any TV show I'm watching right now. This is excellent from you.
I mean, is the Paddle Pop Lion a crook? We don't know.
This is Tim and Davo, the podcast.
I think the natural instinct for people when someone presents you with a problem is to try and find a solution.
Yes, I'm a problem solver and it's to my detriment.
It's
I'm so
real
sorry.
Bad. You are bad with this because not, and I say that you are trying to help so much, but sometimes you just need to let someone just have a chat.
Sue me for hating seeing people I care about suffer. I just want to fix it immediately. I want to take away all the hurt, all the pain, all the anxiety. Give it to me.
Mm-hmm.
I'll carry it.
Yeah.
I don't want you to do this.
I know. We really appreciate that.
I'm awful.
No, you're not awful. It's lovely that you are trying to be a problem solver, but just sometimes, you know, it is tough to try and figure out a solution for something that probably don't need, you know? But this is a little bit silly, right? So I was with a few friends last week and they were talking about one of them's really scared of flying.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, I'm going on this flight soon and I'm really like scared about it. I'm just so scared. And the other friend came out and was like, well, don't worry. You're more likely to die in a car crash anyway.
I've never got that. Why? Like, I guess how I'm getting to the airport?
Yeah.
In a car. Guess where I'm going to the shops in? In a car. Guess where I'm doing literally most of my commuting? In a car.
Yeah. Why do people think that they're going to comfort you by introducing a brand new
Another fear.
And I think it's like people are trying to use logic against emotion. So, you know, fear doesn't work like that. Like if you give a statistic to fear, it doesn't actually do anything for you because you're like, well, I still feel scared.
Yeah. It's like I was saying to you, like, sometimes you, in your head you go, oh, like there's so many great beaches around Geelong. Oh, I'll go for a swim. Oh, I don't want to get attacked by a shark. And you say that out loud and someone's like, look, you're more likely to be struck by lightning than unprovoked attacked by a shark. And now I go, well, am I going to get struck by lightning at this beach as well? And I'm worried about that too. It's not another, you're not fixing the problem there for me.
Actually, another one that comes up with the sharks is like, well, cows kill more people than sharks. So now you're scared to go to the beaches and farms, you know?
That one, I find that more interesting. I'm like, give me follow-up information. Why are cows taking down so many human beings?
I did think of some of these other ones, though, that people do present and then, you know, people then come up with another one. So that, like, someone's a bit nervous about a spider. So, you know, they'll be like, they're more scared of you than you are of it.
Yeah.
Well, then why is it charging at me like it pays rent? Like, you know, what's going on? Or like, worried about public speaking? Well, people aren't even paying attention. That's something that people will say. It's like, well, that's almost worse. I've spent hours preparing for this and here we are. No one's listening. What about when people say, like, oh, you're scared of needles or getting an injection or something? And they're like, oh, well, you won't even feel it. And it's like, Susan, I have nerve endings. Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's a few in here as well. Something like, I'm nervous about turbulence. I always think people are like, oh, it's just, you know what they always say? It's just like driving over bumps on the road. Oh. Well, I'm 35,000 feet in the air, mate. And I know that if things go wrong, we're in trouble here.
That's a big, big bump.
It's Tim and Davo.
All right, let's have a chat about it. The weekend, Cats versus Giants. Giants 86 to Cats 73.
Yeah, they came back from 39 points down in the third quarter. And it sucks because the Cats were flying. I was listening to K-Rock Footy and I've been moving house this weekend, like I've said. And I was like, oh, they got it in the bag. I got some other stuff I got to do. And then my dad was like, hey, you know the Cats lost. And I was like, nah, mate, you're pulling my leg. You have me on. But no, it's unfortunate.
Well, I went to the Sporting Globe for the occasion, treated myself to a nice afternoon out solo.
Hey, mate.
It was great. No, I had a ripper. And, other than the loss, of course, I had my headphones on. I was listening to K-Rock Football as well. And let me tell you, they were doing a great job. Lots of passion.
Yeah, and you can sync it up to your TV. Mm-hmm. So, like, you can set the delay. There's, like, a little few buttons you can click. So you can watch it live with the telly.
Yeah.
So it's awesome.
Literally no delay. Incredible. Especially when Sean Manor kicked a goal. And he did it in an interesting fashion. Take a listen.
Campbell back to Manor under pressure, slides on his knees, got out of one tackle, got Dak Nilly outside of the right boot, kicks one of the goals of the year with his shorts down around his knees. He's got the black jocks on, ladies, just if you're interested. Under the white shorts, it's never a good look.
His pants were down and he was celebrating like he had the fifth golden ticket.
Yeah, he kicked a goal with his pants down.
That's Kingy and Benny Cass from the K-Rock Footy commentary team, absolute rock stars. But I've seen the footage because I only heard it. But it felt weird going to my YouTube and being like, Sean Manor, goal.
Pants down.
Pants down. They were down further than what I imagined because, you know, sometimes you put a bit of razzle-dazzle, a bit of GST on it. No, you could see his full exposed jocks.
Yeah.
Not as bad as when Corey Enright, a long time ago, Cats player, had his full shorts ripped off and he was running around in his blue jocks. Like, that was crazy. But, yeah, he's kicked a goal with his jocks out.
Well, he was lucky that, he was wearing some secure jocks because, his ham was fully out. Like, it would have been it would have been an absolute sight. We would have been worldwide, Mr. Worldwide style. He would have been Pitbull right now had that been the case. Over in the US, they would have been talking about it. In the UK, in Germany, we'd all be talking about Sean Manor's bum,
hammer.
Ham.
Have you ever, had your pants, accidentally pulled down or, in school? Like, I know it's as awful as it is. Have you ever been dacked before?
I have been dacked in school once before when I was a kid. my undies stayed up, thank goodness. But, shame.
See, whenever I think of dacked, I do think undies stay up. And it's weird because if someone gets a grab, you think they probably could get the undies. That would be... Ooh, that'd be not fun to bounce back from, I imagine.
I've had some close calls. Like recently, actually, when we were here, we were celebrating something and I jumped up and remember my pants almost fell down.
I told you my wife was pregnant with our second.
I know, and I jumped up like, woohoo! And my pants dropped to the floor. You can get caught with your pants down quite frequently.
You can, and you have.
And I have. What about you?
year 8, netball courts, PE. Michael Kasabas, dacked me in front of Michelle Tabone.
Oh, Michelle. I hear that chick's name heaps. I know she's had a lasting impression from
She's married with several children. But I don't even know if I had a crush on her. I was just like, not in front of Michelle.
Mate, I think you did by all reports. I've heard her name 5 times.
I thought we could do 5223295. Where'd your pants fall down?
Mm.
Like, I think dacking, like, let's just... If we're talking about dacking, let's not encourage dacking. Because I didn't feel great in the moment. I remember walking off so upset that I'd been dacked in front of Michelle Tabone.
Of course. I mean, Michelle, the early years, love of your life. No, I'm thinking more like water parks as well. The beach.
Yeah,
like,
the
there's
beach.
So many places where your pants can drop.
Yep. Lloyd in Armstrong Creek's giving us a call. Lloyd, where'd your pants fall down?
So back when I was a kid, playing under 14s basketball round robin at the YMCA. And when we were versing this team, this little kid, real funny bugger, but when we were versing him, I was teaming up on him to steal the ball from him. And then he came up to me onto the 3-point line. I went to guard him, and as I went to go try and steal the ball, he threw the ball up in the air. I went to look up and grab it, and he dropped my shorts. And luckily I had drops on, but he dropped me shorts. I went to grab it. That I couldn't even grab it in the end. Too busy trying to grab my pants. He grabbed the ball back, got around me, and got the goalie.
Oh, that's so annoying.
That's the worst. Oh. That's not on.
No, we don't do that. We don't condone dacking.
Don't do that. And what's going through that kid's head is evil at that moment in time. Mm-hmm. To pick on an innocent baller like you, Lloyd. It's not on. And I imagine in the YMCA, when there's like lots of families and that, like there would have been chuckles, I imagine.
Oh, like to be honest, like a lot of us are all having a good laugh about it in the moment. But I'm like, gee, I feel quite tad embarrassed by all this. No. But, you know, at the end of the day, it was all good fun and laughs.
No, I don't like
not.
It.
We it's don't know dacking.
We don't like it, Lloyd.
Right here on the Tim and Davo show, we do not condone dacking.
Maybe we, Lloyd, we recreate this moment one-on-one. I can be the other kid and then you can stop me and be like, no, stop. That's not on. And we can do like a PSA video series. How does that sound? Inspired by real events.
Well, I'm very interested in this. Let's have a chat after the show, I reckon.
All right, excellent.
Well, we're all out of internet. Until next time, this has been Tim and Davo.